right, we're going to go to Oliver Hartwich now. Of course, Oliver has been talking about this whole issue for quite some time. It's all part of the research. And he's executive director, of course, of the New Zealand Initiative. He's an economist, a commentator, and we've spoken to him many times. He joins us again. Oliver, have you got the solution that is eluding, it's going to elude this government, I fear? It eluded the last and probably the one before that. How do we sort out housing?
Well, good morning, Mark. I would first say that there is probably no single silver bullet which you could solve the housing crisis, because it's a crisis that's been building up for decades, really going back to the late 1970s. That's when we stopped building enough houses for a growing population. So it will take a few years to solve this issue, but there are, of course, some things we could be doing now. And in a way, I feel sorry for Phil Twyford, who is coming under a lot of pressure these days, because he is just realizing that he can't solve the crisis with just Kiwi Build, when in fact Phil Twyford is probably the first housing minister we've had in a long time who actually understands the magnitude of the problem. But really, this is a crisis that's been building up for decades. We probably have to give this current government some time to fix it, but I've got some ideas for them if they want to try them out.
Okay, what are your suggestions?
Well, the first thing is to realize that you cannot just fix the crisis by just doing something on building efficiency. Because if you just look at the last government's report from July last year, they found that 56% of the cost of a typical Auckland home may be due to land regulation. Not the land itself, the regulation of the land. So actually deal with the regulation, with the IMA, with the constraints actually to the building sector, you might already shave off more than half of the cost of a typical Auckland home.
Hey, Oliver, sorry, what does that mean by 56% land regulation? Like what? What are you spending it on?
Well, what it means is actually that we are not supplying the market with enough land for development. We, of course, know we have a rural urban boundary, and that means we have limited the supply of land for development, and that's why everything is kind of concentrating on the inner city and inner city development, when in fact the city should be allowed to grow up and out.
So by not allowing moving out or freeing up space on the outskirts, we're pushing up the price internally and within the boundary.
That's exactly what's happening. Okay. That's well documented. And so, therefore, we have to supply the market with more land. The next problem then is, of course, why doesn't it happen? Why does Auckland Council, for example, not really want to push more land for development out? And the answer is pretty simple. There's just nothing in it for Auckland Council, because you have to put yourself in the position of a council, any council in the country. When it comes to development, we are asking councils to finance infrastructure to make it all happen. They have to build some roads, they have to build some water networks and sewage and so on. At the same time, of course, all the taxes generated out of new development, think of all the income taxes, the corporate taxes, the GST from new development, they end up with central government. So we're asking local government to fund something only for central government to get the tax revenue out of it. So that has to be fixed. We have to give local government a share of the extra tax revenue that's generated when it comes to development, so as to incentivize local government to bring this land forward.
This is great, because I hadn't even thought about that. You're quite right, of course. You know, they say, right, we're going to extend the boundary. They've got to put in the sewage lines. They've got to put in the water pipes. They've got to put in the roads. They've got to do all that stuff. And they get stuff, all they'll get whatever they can get on rates once the thing started. That's not going to work.
And actually, the situation is even worse if you put yourself in the position of a council, because not only that you have to deal with the financial costs of development, you have to deal with the political costs as well. You have to deal with the NIMBYs, you know, the not in my backyard fraction, and of course also with the bananas. If you haven't heard of the NIMBYs, bananas are the build absolutely nothing anywhere near anyone faction. So there are political costs to development, and for councils it just doesn't make sense. They don't get any money from it, and they have to deal with the neighbours. And central government gets all the revenues. We have to shift this. We have to take some of the taxes generated from new development and give it to local councils so that they are able and really empowered to deal with the NIMBY opposition, but also able to deliver the infrastructure that's needed.
Hey, look, with all due respect, Oliver, and this is great, this is great hearing it, but surely this had crossed their mind beforehand. Why didn't the council simply go to government and say, hey, this ain't going to work because it's costing us money, let's come up with a plan? Why has it taken this long?
Well, I think this is really built into the way that New Zealand is governed. We are one of the most centralized countries in the developed world, where central government really controls most things happening in the country. Really, by comparison, there are only two countries in the whole of the OECD that are more centralized for government spending than us, and the other two countries are Ireland and Greece, so not quite the best role models. We are working against a really centralist mindset where we always expect central government to solve all our problems for us, and we have left local government alone with just delivering stuff, but we don't really finance them, we don't give them control over their affairs, and therefore we have a built-in a very deep confrontation between central and local government, which we need to fix.
All right, so you're Phil Twyford, you're sitting here right now, you've suddenly realised the scale of the problem, you've realised that, you know, gee, it was great, I meant that I made those promises, but I was genuine, but boy, it's not going to be as easy. So what should be the first thing he does, Oliver?
If I were Phil Twyford, I would probably realize that my promise to build 100,000 Kiwi-built homes is a little bit unrealistic because we don't even have the capacity there, that the price I promised for the typical Kiwi-built home is probably also unrealistic, and that I, as the government, probably wouldn't be able to deliver it because, let's face it, the government is not a building company. So if that's the realization, he will have to ask himself, well, how can we make sure that the market itself will deliver more homes? And fixing this local-central imbalance is one part of it. Finding better ways to finance infrastructure, for example, with privately financed infrastructure, as happens in parts of the U.S., might be another way. He could learn from the countries that have used incentives for development, countries like Germany and Switzerland, where they haven't had any house price inflation in real terms for four decades, and learn from that and try to introduce parts of their systems into New Zealand, because then I think we could actually free the market to develop the homes the country needs without actually requiring Minister Twyford to build the houses himself.
So how's it happen, say, for instance, in Germany? What have they done that's meant that it's worked?
Well, in both Germany and Switzerland, what you find is that local government participates in extra economic activity. So in Germany, the councils get a share of extra tax revenue generated, and they get it as a government grant. In Switzerland, even more direct, in Switzerland, councils and cantons, so local and regional government, they capture part of the income tax. They actually levy their own income taxes. So basically what happens is when you have new development in either Germany or Switzerland, it is the councils that benefit financially from it. And therefore, they have a strong incentive to go for this development, to make it happen, to build the infrastructure, to talk to the locals and make sure that this project goes ahead. In New Zealand, of course, as I mentioned before, we have this confrontation between central and local government, which always ensures that nothing gets done. I think if I were Phil Twyford, I would really look at models and how to make sure that local and central government can be on the same page when it comes to development, that they're both benefiting from development, because that's really what we need as a country.
That makes sense, which means it probably won't happen.
Well, I haven't given up on that yet. I think over the years that we have put out our solutions, We have talked to so many people. I think the basic idea of incentivization is now increasingly understood. It's time to just do it.
Hey, good. Hey, listen, thank you so much. Thank you so much. That's given us a lot to talk about this morning. Oliver Hartwich is the Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative. Of course, he is an economist, a columnist and commentator. And when you think about it, yeah, I mean, us, Ireland and Greece, we're unique in the world in terms of the central government having so much control. And boy, have they squandered it. Let's get your thoughts on that when we come back.